What is the role of the moral virtues in the spiritual life? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is the Immortal Combat Podcast. The Immortal Combat Podcast is the podcast arm of Viri Christi. Viri Christi is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men attain the full stature of Christ by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to learn more about our work, check us out online at virichristi.com. All right, gentlemen, how are y'all doing? It is the Intro to Spiritual Theology, episode 20. We are in the midst of our reflection on the second way of the interior life, the illuminative way. We began this this month discussing an introduction to the illuminative way and how it differs from the purgative way, which we covered last month. Last week, we talked about the prayer of the proficient. So how is our prayer life going to develop with that affective prayer? Engages more of the will as we start to conform our will to the will of Christ, to desire to glorify God in everything we're doing. Talked about that last week. This week, we're going to talk about the moral virtues before turning our attention to the theological virtues next week. So remember, one of the hallmarks of the illuminative way is that it is positive insofar as we are attempting to adorn ourselves with the virtue of Christ. Now, of course, we need grace and the Holy Spirit to help us do that. Excuse me, that's implied. But we have to put effort into it, which we're going to learn today. Now, this week, we're going to talk about the virtues. the moral virtues. Next week, we're going to talk about the theological virtues. Now, just for a brief note that I'll circle back around to next week. The theological virtues, when God infuses them into our soul, that's faith, hope, and charity, those turn us towards our proper end, which is God. So those virtues attach us to the end of eternal life, namely being in friendship with God. But to get to that end, we have to get there, okay? The means to get there is the moral virtues, which we're going to discuss today. So this order, so the faith, hope, and charity is going to turn us and order us to the end, but we need to walk and to live our lives, be good pilgrims on our way to eternal life, and that is the role of the moral virtues. So the way we're going to cover this, we're going to define what a habit or a disposition is, and then what is the difference between a virtue and a vice. Then we're going to discuss the difference between acquired and infused virtues before briefly overviewing the four cardinal virtues and how they perfect us in the Christian life. So that's the plan of attack. So let's just launch right in. So virtues and vices. Virtues and vices are habits or dispositions. Okay, what's a disposition? A disposition is an ability, a tendency, or a capacity that enables a person to perform certain tasks or behaviors in certain ways, okay? Habits, they don't give us a power to do something because we have the power to do things from our nature. What a habit does or disposition is enables us to do something easily and readily, okay? Well, what do I mean that habits don't give us powers? Okay, if you're a 13-year-old or a 16-year-old or a 44-year-old, by nature, you have the power to shoot a basketball, okay? So you have the power to do that. What you don't have, or maybe you do, is the ability to easily and readily make foul shots. Now, some of you guys listening may be able to do that. Congratulations. But some of us can't. In order to be disposed to being a good foul shooter or acquiring a habit of making baskets when you shoot from the foul line, to do that easily and readily, you have to perfect the power that you already possess. Okay, does that make sense? So what dispositions and habits are is they give us an ability to do things readily and easily. All right? Now, these dispositions or habits can be good and bad. A vice is a bad disposition that leads us to act in bad ways. So for some guys, they have a vicious character, okay? Which means doing the wrong thing comes easy to them, all right? So for somebody who's a drug addict or somebody who gets drunk a lot, it's easy for them to do those immoral activities. For other guys, they can't do it. I taught high school for a long time. Good. There were some kids in my class that I'm sure were making bad choices on the weekends, and some were making good choices. For the kids making bad choices, that came easy to them because they had developed bad habits or vices. The kids who were making good choices, okay, they found it difficult to do the wrong thing. They would have to like to some of them couldn't even do it. Some couldn't party, not because they're weak or pathetic, because morally they're just good people and they're not doing that. So for a person who has good dispositions, those are called virtues. So a virtue is an ability, tendency, or capacity to easily and readily do good acts. Okay. And I remember this, I'm in my mid 40s now, but I remember, especially as a young man, there was times in my life when I was making really good decisions and it was difficult for me to do the wrong thing. So early in my high school years, that was the case. I went through a stretch in the latter years of high school and early college where I made some poor choices. Making bad choices became easy to me. So when I made that transition, it was easy at one point to do the right thing, very difficult to do the hard thing. Once I started doing the immoral thing, not hard thing. It was very difficult for me to do the immoral thing. Once I started making myself in a way willing to do the bad stuff, doing the bad things became very natural to me. Then when by God's mercy and grace, he saved me from those sins, I had to relearn good habits. So then doing the right thing was difficult again. Okay. This is how habit development takes place. Okay. So we acquire these dispositions or habits through repetition. All right. Now, this leads us to our next distinction. There is a distinction in Catholic moral theology between natural or acquired and infused virtues. All right. Now, a natural or acquired virtue is just like it sounds. It is a virtue that you acquire naturally. So through repetition, you acquire an ability to do something. So take, I know a lot of you guys are athletes. Let's say in whatever sport, you're really good at throwing a baseball or shooting foul shots. Or let's say you guys are an arts guy. You're good at playing the piano, or you're good at playing the guitar. You can draw well, okay? You acquired those abilities through repetition, because whenever anyone begins doing those activities, they're usually not very good at them. Now, of course, some people naturally have some natural talent, you know, but even somebody who's naturally talented, they don't do anything really excellently. That's going to take effort. Okay. That's what a natural and acquired virtue is. It's a virtue we acquire through repetition. An infused virtue is different. Okay. So Adolf Tankery in his book, The Spiritual Life, says, infused virtues are the principles of action which God engrafts in us, hence the word infuse. So God's going to take these virtues and put them into your soul, okay? Why does he do this? He does this He does this because it gives you a supernatural faculty or a facility or an ability to perform acts to earn eternal life, all right? So when we are in a natural fallen state, we can do exactly nothing to attain eternal life. Nothing. There's no natural virtue good enough to earn eternal life. Okay, so you can practice the four cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude, all you want from a natural perspective. You ain't getting any closer to God. Well, God, of course, wants us to get closer to him. So what he does when he infuses grace into our soul at our baptisms, or if we're in a state of mortal sin and we go to confession, he infuses grace in there. He also infuses in virtues. He gives us the infused virtues of prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. And he does this so that we have everything we need to fulfill his moral law. Okay? Because he knows to achieve the end of having friendship with him in heaven, we need to acquire the means to do so. And that's when infused virtues do. So what God does is he puts these in your soul, so then you have the ability to do acts that please him. Now, it is true, our facility, our ability to use those virtues can differ depending on lots of factors, okay? Choices we made beforehand, how much devotion we have in right now, things like that. But they're there nonetheless for our use, okay? So that's a key difference. So if you're in a state of grace, you got the infused virtues. Awesome. Now, what are the four cardinal virtues? The four cardinal virtues are called cardinal virtues because the entire moral life is said to hinge upon them. So cardinal comes from the Latin word, which means hinge. So the whole moral life hinges on these. Now, the four cardinal virtues are prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Underneath each of these virtues, there's a bunch of sub-virtues. So don't think that like these four things are the only thing in the moral life. That's not true. Okay. I took a whole course once on Thomas Aquinas' view of the cardinal virtues, semester course, just looking at these four. Okay, so there's a lot to discuss here. What we're just going to try to tackle right now is just to define them, to relate them to what we talked about when we discussed the nature of the human person earlier this semester, and then we'll circle back to it more later in the future. So what are these four cardinal virtues? Prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Each of these perfects an aspect of the human person. Now, if you recall from a couple months ago, we talked about that human persons have an intellect, a will, and two basic appetites, the irascible appetite and the concupiscible appetite. Okay, these virtues perfect each one of these. So let's go with the intellect. Our intellects can think about theoretical things like physics, theology, stuff like that, the things you just study to know. Our intellects are also used to make good choices, right? What the virtue of prudence does is it gives us an habit or a disposition or an ability to make good moral choices. It helps us understand the way the things in the world are. It helps us understand, see how things should be and how we should act in those circumstances. So we can learn the moral law, but we have to apply it to our circumstances. Prudence helps us do that, which is a perfection of the intellect. Now, justice. Justice perfects the will. Now, the will is naturally inclined to those things which perfect a human person. So our wills desire that those things which are good for us. There's nothing wrong with that, except we can selfishly pursue goods for ourselves and not think of others. What justice is giving others their due. Okay. So instead of just gobbling up all the goods for ourselves and only living for me and things like that, we have to give others their due. We have to give God his due. It's called worship and obedience and stuff like that. We have to give our neighbor their due, good and bad. So we have to give them the goods that they deserve. Also, they may need punishment that we have to give them. And we also have justice to ourselves, right? We owe things to ourselves like education, a good night's sleep, stuff like that. Justice helps us, helps perfect the will. So the will gives to others what they are due. Third, fortitude. Fortitude perfects the irascible appetite. Now, if you remember, the irascible appetite is the appetite for difficult goods. In order to attain a difficult good, you have to deal with some pain and some difficulty and some suffering. Fortitude or courage helps you to do so. Lastly, temperance perfects the concupiscible appetite. Now, we have an appetite for pleasures of food, drink, and sex. We're good Catholics. There's nothing wrong with those three things, okay? But our appetite for them is disordered. So what we need is the virtue of temperance that helps us to enjoy pleasurable activities in a reasonable way, to desire and enjoy pleasures well when we're supposed to and avoid those situations that we are not supposed to, okay? Or those pleasures we're not supposed to have, things like that. So those are the four cardinal virtues. They perfect the four aspects of the human person we discussed before, and they're imperative for us to develop them so that we can make good choices and attain eternal life. Now, the application I'll leave you guys with. Think of infused virtues like oars on a rowboat, okay? If you are sitting in a rowboat with no oars, okay, that you're going to get pushed around by the current. There's nothing you can do about it, all right? Being in a boat with no oars, being pushed along by the current, is like being in a state of mortal sin. You just float along and get pushed along by the currents of our culture, okay? When you are in a state of grace, it's like God gives you oars, okay? Those oars are the moral virtues. They allow you to start rowing your boat against the current, to direct your boat to get to a certain location. Now, notice with oars, you have to use them. So when God gives you these oars, you have to start rowing, but they're there to help you. The oars are like the infused virtues. Now, when I said before that we need to acquire some facility in using them, a guy could have a boat with oars and he could just row one oar at a time and just sit there and go in circles. Okay, not good. But through practice, you can gain a facility to use these oars you have. Same thing's true in the moral life. So when God, guys, if you're in a state of grace, God has infused into your soul these infused virtues, right? These cardinal virtues, they're there, man. We have to start practicing them. So what application do I want to leave you all with? One I give you guys all the time. keep practicing the rule of life. It's there to help you develop virtue, there to help you become more Christ-like, and there to help you become more prayerful. So make sure you guys do that. All right. We are a little over our typical, but not too far. So we'll wrap up there. Next week, we're going to look at the theological virtues. So hope you guys have a blessed week. See you guys next time. God bless.